Matthew. Let's go on. Matthew 6, 5 through 15. Got a few questions to ask y'all. We're going to clear up today, or try to. What is prayer? How is your prayer life? Have you ever really broke it down and thought about what prayer really is or what it should be? We're going to answer all those questions today. So when y'all looking that up, a little boy was at dinner with his family and was asked to lead the family prayer. He said, "Dear Lord, thank you for all our visitors and their children we had today, who finished all my cookies and ice cream. Bless them so they won't come again. Amen." How's your prayer life? What are your motives? We're gonna cover all that today. I told y'all to turn to Matthew, and I hadn't done it yet. But here we go. 5 through 15. It's a little bit of reading, but we'll get through it. This is Jesus speaking. "And when you pray," there's that "when," "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray." And this is the model that Jesus gives us. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you again for this opportunity to be here and hear your word. Just open our minds and hearts and what you have us receive, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, no, you know, to get into something and to break it down and to study it and stuff, you got to ask some questions. And then it opens up other questions, and then just so forth. And that's how you attain information and knowledge, do something with it. So we're going to break it down kind of like this. Who, what, when, where, and why we should pray. And hopefully we can cover those, and we'll find out all those questions, those answers to those questions, and maybe we'll have a better understanding of it. Before I even get into the sermon, why do we pray? Why? Ask yourself that question. Why are you praying? What's your motives? What's your interest in it? Are you praying for other people? Are you praying for yourself? Are you praying for all this stuff, right? Notice I said that my favorite word, stuff. What are you praying for? What are you praying for? So let's break it down. I'm going to reference a lot of different scripture, but we're not going to have to look it up. If Daryl has it, he can put it up on the board for you, but I'm just going to go through it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. It's just references I'm making. But we're going to break down what we read. Matthew is what we're going to break it down on prayer. So what sort of things should I pray for? Let me tell you what the number one thing is. Praise God's name. We need to praise God's name. And I will answer why here in a little bit. The next thing, priority of God's purpose. What's His purpose for you? How many times have you heard me say, we all got a calling, we all got a purpose, all that good stuff, right? We do. So what is it? How do you do that? You pray. So remember, if we're going to praise God first, because at the end of the day, the only reason we get to pray is because of Him. Amen. And what He done for us. Amen. Through His Son, Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that, it would be useless to even pray. So guys, you know, we're going to praise God's name as priority. We're going to, what about provisions, our needs? Our needs, not our wants. There's a big difference. Sometimes we get those confused. We think we need some stuff that we really don't need. What did God promise us? What did He say? I'll meet your needs. Okay? Hey, everybody right now, today, right this second, we're still here. You've seen another day. He provided. Whatever happened yesterday, good or bad, you're here today. He gave you another day. So we need to be thankful for that. We need to praise that. We need to get our priorities in check when we pray. We need to give, you know, we need to give Him the praise. That's Matthew 6:11, matter of fact, what He says, provision of our needs, not our wants. Pardon for our sins, Matthew 6:12. By the grace of God, we can be forgiven of our sins. And have that opportunity. Notice I said opportunity to make that choice to do that and to have Him and build that relationship. Now I'm going to get into some technical stuff just for a minute. God has already given judicial forgiveness. What's that mean? What does that mean? Judicial. Just because of who He is, the judge, capital T-H-E, judge, God, He provided a way to take care of our sins. Now, here's the deal, though. We're going to get down to that judicial deal, but you got to do something. Okay? He's forgiven your sins if you do your part. You come to Him and ask for it. Commit to Him. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. However you want to word it. It's there for you. But you got to tap into it. I always think about like city water. Oakhurst water. It's there for you. But you got to tap into the meter. Okay? Same thing with this. We all can be forgiven of our sins. But you got to ask for it. And you got to do a response. What we talked about, I forgot who said it yesterday in the men's breakfast. Maybe Alan, I don't remember. To get a reaction, you got to have action, right? If you want to see some results through God, do something. Do something about it. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. So He provided, that's the judicial part of it. Now we can talk to the parental part as a parent. We need to ask for, and we covered that, we need to ask for parental forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. But look at back up to the very first word there, if. That's an action word. Okay? That's the parental part of it. So He took care of the judicial. He's also, lack of better words, He's your daddy. And we need to go and ask for forgiveness. He is faithful and just. I already read that. Never mind. God will not forgive you if you don't forgive others. Remember that part? That was verse 14 through 15. That's another action that we have to do. You can ask all day long. If your heart's not right, it does no good. And we're going to get in also what we think may be unanswered prayers. You heard that word before, unanswered prayers? But we're going to explain. They're not unanswered prayers. I'm going to give you a little insight. Our heart's not right. He's waiting on you to clean yourself up through Him. And here's the key to it. We talk about it a lot. Nobody in here can do it. You can't do it on your own. Yeah. You cannot. And we got to have him. So you got to forgive others. I had a thought. We don't like everybody. Just to be honest with you. We don't. So I want you to think, you know, I can forgive my friends or my family.
Back up a chapter.
Yeah, back up a chapter. And it's a real struggle. There's a lot of people I can, you know, I can say in my flesh that I don't care, you know, I don't care about them. I don't care what happens to them. They, or how about this? They made their own bed, they lie in it. They may have. But they are just deserving as you for God's forgiveness. He loves them just as much as he loves you and I. And some of us are them. We've been on that other side too. At some point, probably. There's probably somebody that don't care for some stuff that happened before or whatever. So we got to share that forgiveness in order for you to get it from God. Protection from the evil one. I'm just going to briefly touch on this because we're going to actually close and spend a little time on this at the end. Satan tempts us to destroy us. Like a roaring lion. See? Kill, destroy. Satan is real. He's real. He ain't a red guy. He may be red with horns. But we put this cartoon character image in our head. But it's nothing to play around with. Because I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you can't defeat him. That's how powerful he is. I love to get into James sometimes because that's that meddling book they call it. Step on toes. So Satan tempts us to destroy us. God tests us to strengthen us. What does James 1, 2 through 3 say? Says. That's my good English coming out, y'all. I got caught myself. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's hard to wrap your head around. Consider it a joy, not just a joy, a pure joy, that these things come along. These trials, these things that happen. Instead of saying, why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me? You need to ask this question, why not you? It happened to Jesus when he walked this earth. So we ain't exempt. And we need to look at it like James says. We need to take that opportunity and draw closer to God. And then maybe we can share that. Now, this is a question you don't have to answer out loud. How many of y'all has something happened in your life that later down the line that God was able to use you to reach somebody that maybe went through the same thing? And you was able to help them out. So consider it a pure joy. So that's the what. Praise God's name and all the stuff in between. Why doesn't God always answer my prayers? That's a question, but we're going to break it down. There's a reason, because God's going to answer your prayers when you clean up a little bit. So your wrong actions, maybe your actions. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities, that's sins, have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. If you're living like hell, don't expect to get an answer from God on something you pray for. And I'm talking about continually. You know, you may stumble, you may stump your toe. You know, then we got the ability to reach out to Christ and our Savior and move on. Right? Put that behind us. But day in, day out, if you're doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing, he's not gonna hear your word. You got to get yourself right. What about the wrong motives? What's your motive? James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God, give me some money. And what you going to do with it? You going to further His kingdom with it? And I just say that loosely. But whatever your motive is, remember, we got to redirect our motives for God's interests to build up His kingdom. When you pray, we are to ask in faith. You must believe and not doubt. When you pray, we are to pray with the right motives. His interests, what He wants you to do. And when we pray, we are to pray according to God's will, with confidence. You need to approach God through prayer with confidence with your walk with Him. You are a Christian. He is going to listen to you. He will provide. He does provide. Have that confidence in it. When you ask for His will, it's not asking permission, lack of better words. It's asking, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do your will. What is it? Right. Not, if you will let me do this. Go with confidence. Have that confidence in Him. When we pray, we are to be in right relationship with others. That's it. Here we go again. You know, we need to have everything else in order around us. When we pray, we should have already confessed our sins in our life. We should approach Him after we clean up. Well, how else to put it? Psalm 66:19 tells us, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I didn't say it. Scripture said it. Look, I'll read it again. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. To me, that's one of those verses, like a lot of them. It don't get no plainer than that. I mean, there it is. There's no adding to, taking away from that. He's not going to do it. So if you wonder why your prayers ain't been answered, do a self-check. Look at that list I just went through. We need to build up His kingdom, not ours. Remember, and this is the key right here. We need to remember this. We are saved by grace. Then we should live by grace. And we should pray by grace. Amen. The only reason you can pray is because of Him. Amen. Remember that grace. Saved by it, live by it, and pray by it. What about this? Not getting your prayers answered. Wrong request. You're asking for the wrong things. I read that joke about that little boy in a joking way. Ask for the right reason. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. And I'm going to give you a good example. Apostle Paul, and I should have wrote it down, is in there. And some of y'all probably know where it's at. He prayed that the thorn in his side would be removed, in his flesh would be removed. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. So because you don't get the answer you want, doesn't mean he didn't answer your prayer. He does. So he is always at your best interest. And what he sees the big picture. You know, we fixed on the right now most of the time. I want, you know, and especially the way things are now, we want things right now. Now. But God don't work that way. Not all the time. Sometimes he does. But he works off of what he knows what's best. We can have confidence that God hears and answers our prayers. No answer is an answer. Remember that. If you don't get the answer you're looking for, or if you don't hear nothing for a little while, maybe it's his timing. We talked about in a Bible study group or something one time, if you read the book, I think it was Daniel, was praying for some help from the angels. 21 days before he received, and he didn't know the... We got the story in front of him, but anyway. So what I'm trying to... The whole point of that is his timing. It might not be today. It might be 21 days down the road. Or it may be years down the road. And we must pray according to his will. How can I become a better prayer? You ever ask yourself that? How can I become a better prayer? You can't outpray God. You can't pray good enough. At any, he just, what he's looking for is that obedience. And do you pray? Do you pray? How often do you pray? Just when you get up, or just when you go to bed, or all during the day? Remember what Paul says? Pray continuously. But I don't mean every second, every day. What continuously is that every situation and every spot you're at that time, you're always thinking about what would God have me do? What would he do? Hey, God, what can I do? Just a quick, short, that's a continual prayer. Just stay in his will. Remember, here's one blip of it. It said, pray briefly, strength, not length. You're praying from your heart. Now look, if you say a long prayer, that's okay too. But what we're saying is, it's the quality of the prayer, not the quantity. He's talking about the Pharisees, how they like to just babble on and make sure they had a crowd when they did it. And they made gestures where all attention was on them. Their heart wasn't in the right place. That's what God's saying. If your heart's in the right place. Pray persistently. That means all the time. Persistently. And we already touched it. Pray honestly from your heart. I told y'all we're going to spend a little time on God's deliverance. So Matthew 6:13. So let's talk about that a little bit. Deliverance from persecution. Psalm 7:1-2 tells us, Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. It's okay to pray when you're in trouble, when you got a need. Everybody has a bad day. Sometimes. You do. Everybody has a good day sometimes. When you feel that there's nowhere else to go, pray. That's the place to go, is with him. Now I'm going to butcher this word. Deliverance from peril. I think I said it right. And let me tell you what our version is. Serious or intimate danger, immediate danger. Psalms 22. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword. my precious life for the power of dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the thorns, the horns of the wild oxen. I know what you're saying. I don't have oxen chasing me down in the street. So, but what sword are you dealing with? What troubles are you going through? What issues that's a thorn in your side? What are you got going on? We all got something going on at different points in our life. How are you going to handle that? Notice how the writer here says, do not be far. He didn't ask for permission. You can talk to God and not be disrespectful. He said, do not be far from me. Because he knows in his heart that he needs God. And he told God that, don't be far from me. You are my strength. He knows. He knows what he needs. And that's the kind of prayer that God's looking for. You can be direct with God without being disrespectful or crossing the line. You can. He knows you need him. He wants you to know it. He wants you to realize, hey, I need you. And this writer, that's what he did. Pull me out of this situation I'm in. Get me through it. All y'all been in some situation at some point that's pretty bad, I'm sure, in your life. You're still here today. God got you out of it. You're still here today. Deliverance from personal adversaries. That's not necessarily a person. What personal issues are you struggling with? Is it somebody? Or is it some addiction? Or is it some stress, worry? All that stuff plays into this. It covers every bit of it. Whatever is weighing on you, give it to God. Psalms 31 tells us, my times are in your hands. Notice that? In your hands. Your time. My time. You don't know how long you have here. None of us do. But what we do know is in God's hands. Or that's what we should know and have faith in. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Like I said, don't necessarily be a physical person. It can be whatever problem you're going through. And I think a lot of people struggle with this. I've been there before. Deliverance from the power of fear. Of fear. And that covers a lot of territory. Fear of the illness you may have. The fear of a loved one that's lost. You just name it. The fear. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. That's Psalms 34:4. Whatever it is, ain't nothing too big that God can't handle. Nothing. But it takes you to reach out to him. Pray that from the heart prayer. Now deliver from the power of the evil one. That's Satan. Remember we talked earlier. He's real. He's a real being. He means business. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and y'all know this scripture, a lot of y'all, Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Are you at that point for your walk with Jesus Christ that no matter what happens here, even up to the point of death, you know what your eternal destination is? If you do, that should give you a peace. Not that nobody's ready to just to die right now, but it don't consume you. Because you know you can be in a better place. We know it's coming. So that helped you address these problems as they come along a little better when you know what side of the tracks you're on. Are you with God or you're not? That lost person, he has everything in the world, literally, to fear because of his eternal destination. But the Christian, the lost for God, no matter what happens in this life, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We're going to cross over into eternity with him. What Jesus was talking about in verse 13, chapter 6, his final part of the prayer, what we just talked about, delivered from the evil one, is a divine protection. That divine protection that he provides to take care of you and I through whatever situation comes along, whatever problem comes up. It asks God to guide believers away from overpowering temptations and to deliver them from the influence of Satan. This verse emphasizes dependence on God for sanctification and protection. We hit that before. What is sanctification? That's a Christian life. Right now you're in the sanctification phase. He cleans you up. He sanctified you. He cleared you up. You're his. You belong to him. You walk with him. And he gives you that protection. If you would, turn, I don't know if Daryl even has this. Turn to Romans 8. This is what we're going to close with. I want you to work on your prayer life. I want you to go through these, walk through these. Just like an athlete or anybody else, or your job that you do, you got to work at it. And you got to practice it. You got to be a part of your life. Not just when things go south, but when things are looking up too. You got to have that continual prayer and know what you're praying for. Main thing I want you to get out of this is pray from within, from your heart, for the right motives, for the right reasons, and for the will of God. And give him, always start out giving him the praise. Because look, whatever you're in, when you get to pray, you still got a breath of life in you. And that's that enough is enough to praise him, to give you another opportunity to pray to him on this side. I want to close with this, and then we'll do a song of invitation. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Other words, all this stuff we talked about prayer, how to pray, how to do it, you can't do it. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have Christ. You got to have Him in order, or you just saying some words that don't mean nothing. So if you don't have that Holy Spirit, if you hadn't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, now the days of salvation, when you still got a breath in your body, Daryl, go ahead and start playing the invitation. I'll be down front. Stand where you're at. Then you pray where you're at. You can pray anywhere. That's another beauty about it. You don't have to come up here unless you feel you want to. Pray where you're at, and wherever you're at with the Lord, and just, y'all go ahead and stand. I'm going to shut up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Just open our minds, our hearts to what you have, and just the Holy Spirit work on us, Lord. Just let it work through us. Guide us and give us that courage and strength that we do need to come to you and to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.